Just mute everybody. And then when you want to share or ask something, just unmute yourself, which is at the top of the screen when you move your mouse. So, or I can do it if I see you. So, it's Ronald. Okay. Okay, so go ahead if you want, to ask something or if you want to share something, please feel free. Everyone gets quiet.
Because I want, you know, other people to have a chance.
I'll be brave.
Okay.
Oh, woman. Jane, go for it, Jane.
No, you go for it. Go on.
Okay. I just want to ask, I've got a few questions, but I'll just do the first one. It's about worship.
Yeah.
And you know how it says to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, and I was at one of Ian's conferences in Holland, and they asked me to come and lead worship. And I'd led worship maybe once or twice, but not that often. And because I get quite shy, and I kind of feel a little bit of fear, and I feel a bit restricted. But anyway, I just did it. And he came up to me, and I was on the keys, like playing, and he started just saying to me, like, there's a river that runs through you. And then he was talking to me as I was playing. And then the next thing that happened was I was just off. I was just like, it felt like I was flying and I was singing stuff out, but I couldn't even remember now what I was singing because it was just like in this flow. And that was a few years ago. And since then, I've just never been able to sort of access or like enter into that place again. And like lead people in worship like that again. And I know that leading worship's part of it's on my scroll, it's part of who I am. So I just wondered like if you could chat about that and help me in that area.
Sure. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm worshiping in spirit and in truth. I think the essence to that is the truth. Another word for truth is reality. And in reality is the reality of heaven and earth being in overlap. And so we're engaging heaven. And I think a lot of things about worship leading is about trying to facilitate something so that people can enter in. But the key is to enter in ourselves and then to pick up the flow of the atmosphere that's actually multiplied when people come together. Because, you know, when one and one come together, it's not two, it's a tenfold. And so when there's three people, it's a hundredfold. And each is exponentially multiplied as people come together because they are releasing something from their spirit into the atmosphere. And so a lot of it is learning to be sensitive to what is going on in the atmosphere. And rather than trying to get God to come into our meetings, we need to go there and then become a channel for God to flow through us as a gateway of heaven. And that's quite difficult for musicians and people who are used to almost like singing songs about God coming rather than us going. And so it's being sensitive to think, okay, I can worship God in spirit, therefore my spirit can engage in the realm of heaven and join in with what's going there and begin to pick up, again, the flow, particularly if you go around the arc of the presence of God and you begin to be sensitive to what's going on there, then you can begin to let your spirit flow. Without you thinking about what you're singing or what you're going to say or anything like that. And obviously it takes, you know, in a sense, practice to be able to engage. And the more personally you engage around the ark and you can look in through the four faces of God and you can begin to see which face of God wants to flow. And often, you know, we can get the lion turn up or the eagle or the ox or, you know, and even the man side of things, which, you know, is the whole priestly side of things. And sometimes it's just, it's not rushing, but rather than singing and trying to sing songs, it's better to pick up the sound of heaven and pick up the frequency that's coming out of heaven And that sometimes can be a rhythm, or it can be a melody or something, rather than necessary words to start with. And once people's spirits gets in tune with the music and the flow, then you find that things begin to flow out much more naturally. And it's like learning to see or perceive what is going on in that realm, and then rather than thinking, oh, well, I'm going to sort of get God to do that here, you sing it from there. So you are in that realm and you worship from there, rather than trying to get people to go there. It's really about you going there. Now, obviously, if you sing, if you've got your own instrument and you're sort of on your own, then it's much easier to flow with that. Now, we've obviously got a band, and they, you know, they sometimes are quite sensitive about doing things right and getting the bits right and all that stuff. And we've had to just encourage them to forget that, you know, actually begin to let your spirit engage and flow. And so, yeah, sometimes it's good to sing songs because they just get us tuned in, really. But in reality, we want new songs. So we want the songs that are flowing, you know, out of our spirit, flowing from around the throne, and looking to engage around the throne and then release that, you know. And that's a totally different way of doing it. And I think it does take practice. Now, someone like Ian, who has engaged there and is engaging there all the time, who begins to speak to you, is speaking to your spirit and calling it into heavenly alignment, you know. And in a sense, you can also do it by before you go into worship, get a mandate. Now, get your mandate from God for what you're going to do. Then you can go to your mountain. You can assign angels to that mandate. You can make sure there's the heaven is open over that. If you know the name of the angel of the church, then talk to the angel of the church and get the angel of the church to be clearing the atmosphere. You know, there's a whole different way of interacting with things. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she, I think she's from Vancouver, and she was asked to lead worship. And she sort of asked me, well, what would I do? You know, I said, well, go and get a mandate. You know, go and get your mandate for that worship time. Then you can be in authority and know that you're going to release what God is calling you to do. So if it's to facilitate maybe some sort of ministry or to facilitate some sort of encounter that is God's purpose for it, then you go into it knowing that you've already got it, rather than going and then hoping you can engage and hoping something's going to happen. Get your mandate first, you know, and then you can assign whatever you need to do, and you can go onto your own mountain and you can begin to speak what needs to be created. You can begin to look into that realm, and sometimes you can look into it. Sometimes you can go to the courts and look. I mean, I've at times I've gone to the courts during our worship times and seen all the accusations against people that are there worshiping, and have sometimes just stood in the gap and identificationally repented on their behalf. You know, and sometimes the whole atmosphere changes. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can do. But we need to do it from a heavenly perspective rather than an earthly one. And I think that's the biggest difference I would see. Because in a sense, you are worshiping God rather than trying to engage the people. And I think that's really the key. Then you can be sensitive to what God is doing amongst people. And as people are engaging, they will begin to sing and begin to release sounds and begin to release things in the spirit, which you can pick up in the flow of, and you can just go with and encourage, you know. So that will really be my encouragement on it is, you know, in any time you do it, make sure you know you're authorized and what you're authorized to do. You know, then you can really be confident in that, you know. So if that, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I've got two questions. what if your band aren't on the same page, if you like, that you are? And my other question is, how do you get the mandate? Like, just can you go through some steps of how to get the mandate?
Okay. Yeah. If your band, it depends really on how open they are to experiment and not worry about getting it right and wrong, because there is no right and wrong, because it comes from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, there's no bum notes and things in God. It's like, at the end of the day, it's the heart of the person who is worshiping, and therefore it's helping people within the band to be free to themselves worship on their instrument and see that they are, if they're not worshiping, then there is no real worship, you know. And I think that will be a key. And again, communicating and sharing. Okay, look, we're going to experiment today. You know, sometimes it's like we deliberately have had no words and no specific songs because we've just said, right, we're just going to start playing music and we're just going to start to flow, and then we're going to see where that flow leads, rather than, well, no, we've got these three songs and we're going to do that to start with. And that actually enables you to pick up the flow of the Spirit. It's uncomfortable for some people because it's like they find comfort in song words and being able to look at the words over the overhead or the projector or whatever, and so that makes it comfortable for them because they know what they're doing. But I think if you're going to do that, is explaining to everyone first you're going to do it. You know, it's like, look, this is we're just going to experiment today. We're just going to look to step into the presence of God together. We're going to look to engage that. And get the musicians on board just to say, look, just begin to play. Yeah. I mean, generally, even if you say, okay, we're going to start with a chord sequence and we're just going to see where that flows and where that goes, then let's then see if we begin to see something or we feel something, and encourage the musicians, if you have a drummer or a rhythm, to begin to pick up if there's a rhythm that's coming out of heaven. And sometimes that can be like you get a marching rhythm, you get a sort of entrance thing, or sometimes, you know, you get different patterns of things that you pick up. You know, when I first started to hear that this sound that was coming out of heaven, I started to hear it probably about three and a half years ago, as a sequence of four notes, and it was just like a sort of, it's just coming up and down and up and down. It just felt that. But I began to sing it in my spirit, and I began just to sing that thing. It was a bit like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the film Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's like there's this, you know, do 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 do, and it's like people were drawn to that sound, and they were drawn to this shape of a mountain. Because something connected with them, and it's the same in worship. You know, I began to get connected and drawn to this sound and this pattern of notes. So I just started singing it, and then, you know, one day, you know, I was chatting to a couple of other people, and they sort of said, "Oh, we just begin to sing something." You know, it's like I don't know what it is, and then I began to find that my hand was moving in a particular shape while I was singing it. And I'm really not particularly demonstrative I'm fairly shy, really, in terms of perfect, but in worship, I just sort of go for it, you know, and I have my own sort of version of dancing that people find highly amusing. But I just don't worry. But I found that my hand was doing this infinity shape, this sort of, and it, like a 3D infinity shape, which was the shape of this sound or this thing that was coming out of heaven, you know, and as I began to really press into that, we actually found that more people were picking it up, and then eventually the musicians began to pick it up, and we actually found that a lot of songs, particularly songs out of Bethel or places like that, were singing this sort of whoa-oh-oh thing, and it was in lots of songs. Wow. And because they were picking up this sound and they were just putting it as this phrase, and it came out in lots of different ways how it was presented, but this sort of whoa-oh and whoa-oh thing was actually in lots of songs. And so that we just began to think, actually, that's what we've been picking up, and we then sort of connected with that in the spirit. But then recently, over the last sort of, I guess, 9 months, we've really connected that with the four faces of God and the Yod, He, Vav, He. And then as we've been singing that, that has been really, really intense. And it's taking us around the arc of the presence of God and engage with the four faces of God in a much more tangible way. And so there's been a picking up of those frequencies and sounds coming out of heaven, and you know, engaging around those sort of sounds, you know, which is, you know, really, really, really been excellent, you know, and it has it's connected in a deeper way, and I think people have begun to resonate and to come into alignment and agreement, and they've had some pretty up close and personal encounters with the four faces of God, and you know, the lion and the ox and the stuff has sort of been like, you know, in people's faces, and you know, for pretty powerful stuff, you know. So the in terms of, you know, music and that and worship, I would, you know, encourage people to go for it, just to experiment and not to be afraid of getting it wrong, because God's looking at our hearts, and I think that's a key in it, I think. What was the second part of it?
The second part was, how do you get a mandate?
Oh, right, yeah, okay. Well, a mandate really is just a authorization to act. And so Jesus every day saw what the Father was doing. That was his mandate, to enable him to do what he saw the Father doing. And so I would encourage anybody on a daily basis to go and engage around the presence of God, engage around the ark, and to open their hearts to receive a mandate. And sometimes it can come as a specific, okay, God has spoken to me, he's given me direction about something today, which is very specific. And you know, it's like, you know, finding the will of God for today. Mm-hmm. And so I can go and, okay, I want to know your will. So release the frequency of your voice to begin to draw me to connect up with your will. Or another thing around the ark, in terms of, you know, the tablets of writing on our hearts, so we open up our hearts and it begins to draw us towards the desires that God has placed there, and some of those are to do with our destiny, and they all draw us towards certain things. Now, in a sense, some people find it quite easy to hear or get a flow of revelation which just, yeah, this is what it is. You know, and they hear the voice of God, or they see something or perceive it. Mm-hmm. Other people tend to find, well, they don't seem to get something then which they could tangibly put their finger on, but something changes in their heart. Mm-hmm. And then when you then take that mandate, okay, I've received this. Let's say it's a mandate for a worship time, then you may receive, okay, a picture, or you may receive, okay, there's a sense of the eagle I'm being drawn to here, or is the connection with, hey, I feel that God wants us to soar into the realms of heaven today, or whatever it might be, you know, it might be anything. Then it's, okay, well, what am I confident that I understand how to do that? Mm-hmm. I've got an authorization, but what do I need to do? So you can then take that mandate in your heart and go to maybe the court of war, where you can get a strategy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you take it and you present it there, you open your heart, and you then you see what you get. Sometimes you get a scroll, or sometimes you get direction in terms of what to do and how to do it, you know. And then from there you would take what you receive and go and then release that from your mountain. Or you could go to the court of angels with that strategy and get assignment. Yeah. You know, get angelic assignment for it. Okay, which angels are coming? Are the seraphim coming? Mm. You know, because if the seraphim come in, they're the burning ones, and they're going to come with a particular flavor of things, because it's going to be hot, you know. Yeah. And they're going to be touching people with fire. And so, in a sense, depending on what God says to you, if he said to you in the strategy or in the mandate, I really want to come as a river of fire today, I'm going to touch people's hearts, I'm going to burn through the chains that are in their hearts, you know, I really want you to engage with me in this so that I can release this in people's hearts, then, you know, the seraphim are a good load to get on board, and you can begin to direct them to come and release them to come and engage with people. You know, if it's more about intimacy and connecting up with maybe the Father heart of God, or connecting up with an intimate place of deeper revelation with God, you know, that sometimes would be the kashmelim, which, you know, the shining ones and the colors and the ribbons of color that begin to flow around worship and engage people's spirits. You know, so you sort of pick up, you know, depending on what God says, you know, how you authorize certain angels. And particularly if it's your own church and you know the angel of the church's name, you can engage with that angel, then that sets a tone for an authorization to do things with that. And also there can be... you know, some of the other angels, sometimes is you get the living creatures come. So you get fiery horses, and you get pillars of fire or whirlwinds of fire that would come, or flaming swords, you know, depending on what it was, you know, and you sort of learn how to engage with that. And, you know, for us, one of the things we had prophesied over us that, you know, we were an angelic landing strip. But when angels came, we needed to find out what they were sent to do. And then cooperate with them. And so often, you know, when people do see angels, you know, the first thing they'll do is, well, what have you come for? You know, why are you here? You know, what do you want to do? Now, you know, we have gathering angels here all the time, you know, and, you know, they're here to gather when people surrender, to gather and remove stumbling blocks, you know, and there are certain things. Sometimes you get angelic ladders. Get golden ladders which engage so people can go up them, and you just have to minister that. And sometimes it's like, you know, I mean, you know, we've done some pretty wacky things, you know. I mean, we have a lot of banners, and we have a lot of we have someone who's really gifted in the whole area of banners, and they open portals using different colors, and we have banners with the four faces of God on them, we have of each one, and then we have one with the four face all on the one banner, and different colors associated with opening up portals for the angelic to come through, lots of things, and changing atmospheres to engage people's spirit by using color and movement. So certain movements and certain frequencies as the banners are moved really connects and opens things. You know, so there's so many different ways which you can, you know, authorize things and use things. Once you have a mandate, then, you know, I would eventually go to my mountain, and I would decree and call things forth according to that. So I would speak out into the atmosphere, the fire of God is coming. You know, I release the fire of God to come into this meeting. You know, I would, and, you know, even if it's the day before or the morning before, whatever, you know, I would speak those things out into the atmosphere. And you know, be very specific about it. You know, if you have a mandate, use it. It is a legal authorization to operate and do things. And so release it. You know, release what you see, what you feel. And that's really where it can flow out of your spirit without you trying necessarily to think too hard about, well, what do I do? How do I do it? Just let your spirit begin to speak. You know, and sometimes you can loose things that are hindrances and stumbling blocks. You know, and sometimes the enemies will have a scheme to try and hinder and block it, and that's where you need to engage with the angel of the church to make sure the atmosphere is clear, that there is protection in what we're doing. Lots of things like that with how you would do it. But, you know, what I found is that we need to do it very much more specifically, according to direction, rather than, well, we turn up, and we go with the flow, and we hope the Holy Spirit will lead us. Well, you know, that's in a sense okay, but that's pretty sort of like immature. And actually, God wants us to be responsible for what goes on. Yeah. And so, when we connect up with Him, we also, from our own spirit, can release creativity.
Yeah.
You know, and we can release sort of ministry, and we can release the angels to bring healing, and it might be a healing thing that God gives you an anointing for. Then you can start calling forth for healing sounds, because it's not just
wow
or healing angels, you know, and vibrating frequencies that will bring people's bodies into alignment and wholeness. You know, all sorts of things you can use to do that, you know, and it's just sort of just learning, and you know, we're just learning really. You know, I'm not a musician, but you know, I love worship, so I love singing, I love, you know, movement, and you know, and I just get lost. So most of the time, I'm somewhere else. You know, I just look to engage, and I get taken to places, and often I'm totally unaware of what's going on. You know, very very often, I always speak first. But if we have worship and I've got to speak afterwards, sometimes I'm just in no fit state to do it. I tend to speak first, and then we engage in worship, so that then we can follow in, particularly if we do exercises and we look to follow the flow of what I've been speaking about. You know, particularly if when we're engaging the angelic realm, you know, I will be able to see, I can see, you know, the different angels that come, and, you know, I'm just looking to cooperate with them, you know. But, you know, I try to give people space to do things and to flow with it. So I don't tend to be that involved, because I want to encourage other people to be involved in sharing what they see and bringing things. You know, I could sort of go and do something all the time, but I don't, because actually that would be people would become dependent, and I want people to learn how to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably much less actively involved. I'm much more personally involved, because I find it really easy just to go into different places and to minister things there, to look to facilitate for things to happen here. So, you know, that would be part of how you would do it, really. Okay.
It's amazing. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, anyone else got something they want to ask?
Did you hear that?
No.
Okay, yeah. just that Anne had posted a message on the screen saying that she was trying to connect, but her internet wasn't working, so she doesn't think she'll make it. Only came up for a second.
Okay, all right. Sure.
Okay.
Anyone else want to ask something? Or?
Okay, I have a question if no one else has one.
Yeah.
I've had a look around my mountain, and I found there's a sort of a treasure room inside of it.
Yeah.
There's stuff there from my grandfather and father, which was quite surprising. It's a sort of mandates and scrolls and sort of a treasure chest, which sort of a spiritual inheritance, I think.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
My grandfather was a pastor, and my dad also, after retired, he became a pastor. So that was quite surprising to see stuff in there inside of there.
Excellent. Yeah, really, really good. I mean, you know, a lot of us start off with, you know, no inheritance, because we're sort of first generation Christians, or our inheritance has been robbed and in different ways. So, you know, to find, you know, a heritage, you know, is a real positive thing, because there's a multiplication that comes with that we can engage in. And, you know, I know someone like Bill Johnson is like a fifth generation. You know, so there's been stuff which they've received, you know, which has been a positive thing. You know, I think also it's like, you know, one of the things that recently I've been able to engage in is in the Satan's trophy room, and actually see the robbery of heritage. You know, there are destinies that are robbed as people have not yet engaged with God. There are also mantles that have been robbed, because people have lost their mantles through sin or falling into error and things like that. But also there's an area in Satan Trophy Room which is about heritage, family heritage, where we can claim back that which should have been released to us, so that all the generations can be released into this generation. And I think there's a mandate for that, there's an authorization for that, to engage where we should have had things, you know, that we never received. But they're there. You know, the enemy's robbed them generationally. And just as the sins of the fathers can be visited on third and fourth generation, so can the blessings. And so we want the blessings that have been stored up for those generations released into us, so that then we can operate in those multiplied breast blessings and see our family heritage destinies outworked, you know. But, you know, you have to go there and engage it and claim it, and you need to know what you're doing. But it is something that, you know, I have been to a few times recently. It's good, and it's excellent. And, you know, a lot of people engage on their mountain and on the throne that's on their mountain. Sometimes, you know, people neglect to think that there may be things in their mountain that are there as resource and places. Just like, because our mountain is a reflection of God's mountain. And God, in God's mountain, there is many, many rooms. You know, you've got many, many different rooms in the mountain of God. And so learning to engage in the different rooms. You know, when Jesus went up to pray, he went up into the mountain. He didn't just sat on top of it. You know, so there is something that you can engage in. You know, I've found some pretty interesting places by looking beyond what you can see on the surface to learn how to engage. So it's pretty awesome when you see those things, and then, you know, it's receiving them and then, you know, outworking them, you know, and being grateful and thankful, I think, for having a heritage like that, you know, because not many of us have had, you know, that really, but, you know, it's a blessing for those who have. Yeah. Don't waste it, use it, you know.
Yeah, it was quite pleasing, because they never left anything in the physical, because they love to give away everything they had. So having something in the spirit was quite a relief, I would say.
Oh, absolutely.
Another question is the reality. If on the earth, if two persons are, we can agree on what we see. For example, if we see a tree, we can agree on the form, the shape, the color, but it doesn't happen like that in heaven. You have two persons looking at the same thing would see something completely different.
Yeah. Well, it's heaven is like a multiverse environment, because it doesn't have space in the same way in which we have. So we can all be connected to the throne of grace, we can all go to the tree of life, we can all go to the garden of God and not see each other, because God creates that environment for us. Now, there are occasions where you're going specifically to see things, and so, you know, I have seen people there, I've seen people on thrones, and I've seen things because I was supposed to see what was going on and to look that engagement. You know, when you go in together, sometimes you can see. Particularly if you're going in as a bench of three and you're going in to administer authority, sometimes you will see a similar thing but in a slightly different way to get a bigger picture. What I find is, you know, it is a different reality, and the constraints of time and space don't operate in the same way. And that has to mean that we have to engage with more senses than just our eyes and ears. So we need to open all our senses, spiritual senses, to engage. And therefore, you know, when you see colors often contain fragrances, or that they can sometimes contain sounds and feelings and emotions, and everything's living. So you walk sometimes, and you actually, in walking, you feel that it's living, and what you're walking on communicates to you. You get a sense that you pick that up you know, in different ways than you would here. You know, and people do see things to relate to what is God trying to communicate to them. You know, and we all have different experiences in life where certain things have more meaning than others. You know, so whenever I've been particularly in, you know, in the garden of God and in Eden and engaging there in relationship, and I'm looking for intimacy and revelation and identity with him there, then a lot of the things there speak to me through waterfalls and rivers and pools and swimming down and going deeper into things and in gardens and things like that. Because that's how God knows how I would interpret things and how I would connect with things. Other people have completely different experiences. You know, God speaks to them in different ways. They engage with different things, flowers and lots of things. Some people engage in houses and they see things that have been built and structures and things, because that's how God communicates. I think the key is it's not trying to be too descriptive in what we do. You know, when I sort of do exercises, I'm really trying to just open up opportunities for people to go somewhere to connect so that they can begin to see what they need to see and feel and to engage with what they need to engage with. And so I try not to be too descriptive. Sometimes I can see things because I go and watch, you know, and observe what's going on. And when I do that, often it's because there are colors being displayed or different things, and often colors are used very symbolically. People will get different color mantles or jewels within their crown or on their scepter, which is an indication that God is speaking to them particularly. And sometimes that's connected with the seven spirits of God, and sometimes it's not. You know, understanding symbolism, I think, needs to be very personal. And you know, a lot of people sort of ask me questions about the symbolism of their encounters, you know, and I can often interpret them, but I really sort of encourage people to go back to God themselves, because it's like it's picking up the relationship where we can hear God and ask him things. So if he's shown us something we don't understand, it's like, okay, well, let's go and ask him. Okay, God, what were you trying to show me? Father, reveal to me, what was it you were trying to indicate by that color or that particular picture or that particular experience, you know, and just be open and real and talk to him. You know, he wants a relationship, you know, so that actually the relationship is two-way flowing of talking and sharing hearts and things, so that we know him. You know, it's easy to know his works, but actually to know his ways and to know him personally and to know his heart and his mind and to know his thoughts, you know, is an intimate thing. And he wants us to, but we have to spend time tuning in to that flow, that how it works for us. You know, and some people are more visual, some people are more intuitive, and some people are more, you know, the auditory, and they get flow of thoughts, you know. There's no right and wrong, it's just how do we learn how to do it and how do we communicate and experience it, you know. So yeah, I think we just need to practice, really going for it, and that practice will make it better. You know, the more you practice, the easier things become. You know, if you have some sort of gift areas, then sometimes that's great. And that helps, but you know, it's for everybody. So we all need to learn to how to tune in and to experience God for ourselves. And so, yeah, definitely, you can see different things because we are all different. And God is so gracious and wonderfully loving that he can create a whole version of heaven just for us. And that's what it's like. Sometimes it's just he creates the whole thing just for us because we're special. Because if you think in Psalm 139, you know, how vast the sum of the thoughts he has about us, there is no end to that. And therefore, you know, he would just create a whole version of heaven just so we could experience it and we could actually engage with him there. You know, and actually when we learn to be that ourselves, we will be able to frame and frame our lives according to what who we are and what we engage in there. We just have to learn that actually our consciousness has authority and power to create by thought and words. So when you mix spiritual words and spiritual thoughts together and begin to declare and speak out from authority, then you can create your own reality. You know, and that's what God wants, according to our destiny, that we would create that reality and bring heaven and earth in alignment around us so our life is operating that way. But, you know, it requires, you know, a lot of practice and relationship, really, to be able to do some of that. And some of it right now is we're all learning, and so God's grace is on us, so we don't create an awful lot of things which would cause an awful lot of problems. You know, the more pure and holy and the more we're cleansed and sorted out, the more righteousness and justice flows, and therefore there is an entrusting, you know, because, you know, if suddenly we had the power to create a reality totally according to what we think, you know, it's like it would be pretty interesting, but probably pretty disastrous. You know, I don't know if you ever saw, I think I never saw the full film, but Bruce Almighty was a film about when God was given powers. And it's like, it was just a bit like that, you know, because he was like a child, you know, but we have to become mature sons. And so we learn in the process. And God entrusts us when we're faithful with little, then he will entrust us with more. And then when we're faithful, he'll entrust us with more. Until we are operating in full sonship, in which we will be able to answer the groan of creation and to bring creation back into alignment and to bring light back into creation, because we will be demonstrating and transfigured and beings of light ourselves. You know, but at the moment we're just sort of learning the basics. It's like we're learning the three R's, if you like, in infant school in this stuff. But we're going to graduate and be able to operate in the fullness of things in the future. It's just we learn the same principles now. You know, whether you can write CAT or a 5,000-word thesis, it all comes from exactly the same principle. You put letters together to make words. And it's the same in these things in the spirit. We may just be learning to put a few things together, but ultimately, we will use the same principles of getting a mandate to operate a worship service, in terms of, as opposed to getting a mandate to completely rule in a city of refuge and bring miracles and all sorts of stuff. You know, it's exactly the same thing, and it's the same thing that will enable us to birth a galaxy or to release creative stuff into another dimension. You know, all those things are there. It's like, you know, Jesus, I think, said to Nicodemus, look, you know, I've given you some parables of earthly things that represent things in heaven, and you didn't really understand them, but, you know, how could I tell you about heavenly things that have no earthly parables? And I believe in the days in which we live, there are so many heavenly things being released in earthly parables so that we can understand them. In because we have an understanding of quantum understanding and resonance and frequency and all the things that they had no idea about, we now and that do, and therefore those things are being released so that we can understand. But there are also things that are so out of the grid that we have no reference point for, that we wouldn't be able to describe even if we saw them and experienced them. And there, those things are there. And so we will come into a level of maturity where there are things now that will be parabolic, if you like, of things that we have no grid for right now, but we will have, you know, because we'll be brought into a deeper revelation of the heart of God, a deeper insight into the counsels of God, and being able to, rather than just operate under God's law, that we will be, as sons operating in kingship, will be able to make laws. But those laws will totally reflect the heart and purpose of God for creation. And there will be us operating in sonship as co-heirs with Christ of his inheritance, which is our inheritance. You know, and so the whole of what Satan messed up and all the third of the angels that fell, you know, it's our responsibility to put that right, you know, and we're going to do that in the future. It's going to be real fun, you know. You know, whether how much of that is this age or how much is the age to come, I don't know. But we're going to be a fully mature bride for Jesus to come back for us without spot and wrinkle. So there's some stuff he's going to do for us to transform us and transfigure us, to be conformed to his image and like him and operating in a totally different dimension of authority and power. But it just starts with the same basic building blocks of relationship and understanding his heart and coming close to him and drawing near to him so that he can begin to release us and use us in those ways. You know, the closer we draw near to him, the more time we spend with him, the more our hearts reflect his heart. Even without doing anything, it just we draw near and we begin to change.
Yeah, it's okay. What I find is that reality is not static, because every time you revisit something, it seems to there's another layer added. So,
I mean, the first time you go somewhere and you engage somewhere in heaven, you're often focused on maybe Jesus or focused on the main thing of that encounter, and you don't necessarily pick up everything that you could see or engage in. And that's why you use the Word of God and use the experience and the testimony as a doorway to go back and meditate on what you've seen and what you've heard and draw from it the fullness of revelation that it contains. You know, a lot of people have had encounters over the years, they've just never gone back. You know, it was like, wow, that was a wonderful experience, and that's all it is, a wonderful experience. But you've got to go back over it. You need to meditate, revisit it, go over it so that you draw from it the revelation. You know, I think a lot of people are very caught up in seeing things and having visions and encounters, which is great, and I love that. But I'd rather have two words from God than 10 pictures that I don't know what they mean. You know, so for me, I just want a flow of the revelation of his heart to me, so that I understand, I have perception. You know, I can have a vision of something and I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Now I've got to go back and ask him. So I'd rather he just tell me in the first place. Now, if you actually get both together and you have a vision of Jesus talking to you and telling you things, that's great. You know, and that's sort of, you know, that's sort of the full package really. But sometimes it doesn't always happen like that. And sometimes God introduces something to us that will draw us towards it to pursue it. And he's looking for that pursuit. You know, that's why sometimes Jesus spoke in parables, because he wanted to know who's really serious about finding out what these parables meant. And mostly it was his disciples who asked him afterwards. And a lot of the people went away wondering what it meant. Now, those that were willing to pursue that, no doubt that he would give them revelation of what it meant. You know, and for a lot of people, you know, they don't necessarily pursue to find the deeper things within what the encounters are, you know, because sometimes it's not obvious and it's deliberately not obvious because God does want to see where our hearts are and whether we are willing to go back and whether we're willing to meditate around it, you know. I mean, and sometimes God is, you know, this thing, you know, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it's the glory of kings to find them out. Now, he's not hiding them from us, he's hiding them for us, so we'll treat them with the value and worth and regard that they should have. And, you know, I would never want to lose the wonder and awe of having encounters in heaven and experiencing it, and it just become mundane. because it really isn't mundane. It's a privilege and a blessing, and I want to keep that sense of inspiredness and awe about it, really, because I think that demonstrates the value that we put on things. Okay. Anything else? Maybe it would be, yeah. Carry on.
One of them was about creating with words, and the other was about a place that I've been once, which is the dark cloud. So obviously, I've just written down what you just said. Yeah. But in relation to when you were talking about creating with our words, the general understanding that you've been explaining, how can we best steward this kind of revelation when we're talking to other people who may not understand it, but we know are hungry for that kind of thing? And because I've been trying to communicate it a bit to people here, and there is a group that's interested, but also to others that I know, and I struggle with getting people to kind of be open to engaging in this way. So I'm just wondering how, if we've got connections, you know, like Rebecca in worship and the band, and I don't know who Ronald's connected to, but how can we best steward it? What's the best way? I mean, obviously it depends on each group, but generally speaking, are there any principles that we can adopt in helping people to progress, as it were, a bit like you do, really, I suppose?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think when it comes to sharing with people, we need to be careful of the motives of our heart. So we're not sharing with people to show how much we know, or, you know, because sometimes it can come over that way to people.
Yeah. And
part of the problem is some people will feel if you're sharing things that of your experiences with heaven, they will feel inadequate. They will feel, oh, I've never done that. I'm therefore, you know, and there's sometimes defense mechanisms around that can can cause them to be defensive and cause them to react in a way which causes them to reject it because out of their own insecurity. And so, in a sense, the key is trying to encourage people at the ever level they're at to just go deeper. And it's like, rather than, in a sense, sharing too much. I mean, if I go to a conference or if I go to where people are coming to hear about heavenly encounters, then I feel total liberty to be able to share that with no problem because of what people are coming for. But, you know, I have a group here. Let's say I've got a group of local leaders who I'm chairman of churches together, and I have a connection with many people. When I had, you know, my first real encounters, and I was very careful not to share anything until I was asked. Although I had opportunity as my position, I could have done as chairman, I could have basically said, right, you know, we all need to know this. I felt very clearly, you know, wait until you're asked and share enough that people will always want something more, that you leave them desiring more and hungry for more, rather than the temptation is to give them the whole dump of everything. And people cannot contain a lot of stuff all in one go. And I made the mistake of that, you know, not with those local leaders, because God warned me about that. But, you know, even here with people here, you know, I just was so excited by what I'd experienced. You know, I just shared overload. And they were just like, overload, you know. And so I tend to, I don't do that as much now, and I share, I just allow my spirit to give me the direction to share things. You know, and sometimes I get excited about things and, you know, I sort of, you know, passionately share some stuff, but really it's making sure that you encourage people that there is more and you don't overwhelm them that it's impossible for them. You know, so it's steps, you know, and encouraging people that, hey, there is something deeper, and God wants to reveal more of himself, and there's deeper levels of intimacy. And the language that we use can be really key, because I think some of the mystical language that some people use can be offensive to a lot of people. They struggle with it, and their evangelicalism will kick in, and they'll start rejecting it because, oh, it's all New Agey and that sort of thing. And it's just a religious defense mechanism because of fear of going into error and things like that, which people have been taught, you know, to be suspicious. So we've got to try and use words that will be neutral, or words that will be that they will be able to relate to and want to pursue something in it, you know. And so I tend not to use mystical language, mystics, or any of that type of thing. Now, I know some people do, because it will attract certain people, and if that's the people that they're called to attract, that's great, but they will also put off a whole load of people that maybe they're not called to attract. So for me, I tend to shy away from sort of controversial language or deliberately provocative language, because actually we've got to come in love. You know, the whole purpose of engaging with people is because we want, in love, to help them experience something more of God and to experience something deeper in God and to find their destiny. And so, you know, I would encourage about looking at encouraging people to think, you know, what is my destiny? And how do I find that? And therefore use things like Psalm 139 and ask people, you know, have you ever really thought about this book or this scroll that's written about your life that you can actually find out about? Oh, how can I find out about that? And it's trying to introduce that in ways that will capture people's hearts and desires and not put their defense mechanisms or guards up, you know. And so I think it's just being sensitive, not to share too much too soon, but enough to encourage people that there's something more, you know. And actually, if we have been encountered by those things, they should notice something different about us, you know, and they should notice we're more sensitive in the sense to the flow of the Spirit and to them, you know. And in a sense also, again, go and get a mandate, you know, get a mandate and then get a strategy for that specific group, because then you know that God is going to give you what you need. Assign angels to that group to be coming into people's dreams and to be coming into people's sleep patterns. You know, we can assign angels to do that. It's very biblical. You know, Cornelius had a dream and an angel came and showed him that this guy Peter was going to come and speak to him. You know, and so we can do that. And so I think it's finding what is the strategy for the group or the person, so that we can specifically and direct that and begin to call it forth, you know. And, you know, people have a destiny, and we can bind people to that destiny, you know, and loose them from the things that are hindering. And if they're religious spirits or familiar spirits that are hindering or stopping or causing obstacles, you know, we can use the revelation and the authorization that we have and authority to deal with those things if those people are in our sphere. You know, if we carry them in our heart, then it gives us authorization to look into their lives and to begin to see some of the obstacles or hindrances and blockages. You know, we can release gathering angels to gather the stumbling blocks and remove the stumbling blocks. Sometimes there are mountains in people's lives which we have to command to be moved, you know, and sometimes that might be trauma. It might be past experience of people who've tried to, be enthusiastic with people but I've tried to be too heavy-handed with it. And a lot of it comes, we mustn't make people feel inadequate or inferior because we have the great knowledge now. This is for everybody. It's for everybody, it's for each person, and we need to find ways to help people to embrace that and be drawn towards it. You know, but there's a cost. You know, you don't engage in this stuff without the cost, which is discipline and desire to spend more time with God and to be set to sacrifice for that. You know, no one is going to fit this type of supernatural lifestyle into the life they're already living. They'll have to adapt their life and put that first. Their relationship with God needs to come first. But the benefits of that are deeper levels of revelation, deeper levels of intimacy. And I think also it's like trying to find key scriptures which will open people's hearts and lives to the experience. And so I tend to use scriptures that people have interpreted in a very neutral way and try to get them to see what would that be if you actually really experienced that. And things like, you know, coming boldly to the throne of grace. You know, it's like, what does that mean? Oh, well, I pray and God hears me. Well, what if it was actually a real place and you could really come and really meet with God there and experience his grace and mercy in time of need? You know, how different would that be? So I tend to try and use scriptures like that, like drinking living water. Well, and it becomes a fountain of water. Well, where does that water come from? What is the living water? Well, it's the river of life. Well, where's the river of life? Oh, it's coming out of heaven. Well, how can it flow in us if it's coming out of heaven? Well, we must be connected to heaven then.
Mm.
And so it's using little things like that just to begin to challenge people's sort of perspective that it's almost theoretical rather than personal and real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when sort of Jesus said, you know, I'm knocking on the door, you know, basically open the door and let me in and we're going to fellowship and dine, I would say, yes. Okay, actually that's a real door that's in your spirit connected to the kingdom that's within you where God lives. So you are a house of God. You know, and actually use that as, you know, because John 14 says that God has come to live in us. Well, where's he living? And you sort of provoke people to think about, well, where's he living? And if he's living in there, how can I connect with him? Because he says, they open this door and I can connect with him. And so it's using little things like that just to expand people's perception of the normal scriptures they take for granted, think they really understand, but there's a whole different level of revelation that comes with those scriptures that if you begin to provoke their spirit to engage, you know, then they will. You know, I've used that with people, like the leaders here. You know, I didn't go sort of steamrolling in. I let them ask questions. I began to answer their questions. And after that, then they asked me, could we spend some more time with you? And so a group of them, I spent 8 weeks, one morning a week with them for 8 weeks, sharing different things, helping them see that this was possible for them. You know, different things like that, which you know, is all sort of part of the process of helping people engage and finding the level that you can encourage them in. And when I've done things with sort of groups of leaders, I've started off with some Bible verses. And it's like, okay, here's 4 Bible verses. You know, come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, sort of open the door, you know, these are John 4, you know, living water. And I've just sort of said, okay, we just want to close your eyes and begin to think about that verse and begin to see what God speaks to you and how you can engage it. And some people come back with a sermon, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, God spoke to me about this. Some people come back with, hey, I saw myself drinking that living water and I actually felt like it was a fountain in me. Because you're encouraging participation in the living Word of God rather than information about the Word of God. And so you take little steps that help people engage in the Word and experience the Word on a different level so that will give them a taste. They've tasted something different and then they will look to pursue that. And, you know, then you can use the Word as a doorway into encounter, you know, and you can then use Revelation 4:1. Hey, there's a door standing open in heaven. Come up. Okay, well, let's go and do that then, because that's a word that's for us. Let's go and do it. Oh, well, no, that was just for John. Well, then you go back and you say, well, okay, Jacob had the same thing. open heaven, ladder going up. Jesus said the same thing. He said in John 1, hey, there's an open heaven over me, angels going up. Paul went up there. So you have sort of key scriptures that you can use to sort of help people to see, hey, this is for me. This is not just for special people or people who have, you know, a great ministry. This is for all of us, because all of us have a destiny in God. All of us have a relationship with him, and he wants us to engage with him intimately in all of us, you know. You know, so, you know, that, I mean, obviously I do this quite a lot, so I suppose I've built up a sort of a reservoir of things that I can use in different circumstances. But, you know, the key is, it's like if we're flowing in God, then we've got to trust that God will just direct what we say. And if we've gone there before to prepare the way, then we come with authority. And people recognize authority. You know, they do. They find something in it that's actually attractive and powerful. It's like, wow. Like they were with Jesus. It's like, this is Joseph's son, but actually he's speaking with such authority. Where did he get that authority from? You know, but he was just sharing his reality with God, and people were drawn to that. You know, and the miracles and things didn't hinder him. You know, but in reality, the disciples were drawn to him in relationship, not just the miracles. You know, so yeah, I think that would be a positive way of doing it. Okay, well, maybe we'll just finish with a little exercise or something, just step into heaven or something. You know, where do you want to go? Do you want to go into the relationship pathway, into the garden of God, or do something there? Or do you want to go into the ark and go around the presence of God there? You know, whatever. What would you like to do?
So the ark will be... Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's look about, you know, going to the ark and opening up our heart to receive a mandate, you know, and that might be a specific mandate. You might come with something that you feel I need a mandate for this situation. It may be, well, I'm just coming and I want God to give me something for tomorrow or something that gives me an authorization for something that's according to my destiny. You know, let's just go and step into around that, you know. We basically are under an open heaven, and we can just basically step in. So what I'd encourage you to do is just begin to just to think about Jesus, think about that open heaven that's over us, and just now we just engage our spirit by faith, and we just step, following those steps up into the realm of heaven, and we just step through the veil. And I just want you to just think of that door that's open, and Jesus is standing in the doorway waiting to welcome you into his presence. Just sense the different atmosphere there is in the realm of heaven. The freedom you have to breathe, the freedom to experience and feel all your senses, just being sensitized to the realm of heaven. Now just allow Jesus now just to take you by the hand. And he's going to take you through the veil between the realm into the kingdom of God, and he's going to just take you through what feels like portals of light and color, and just feel what it's like to go through the different realms as he takes you through the realm of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of heaven. Just let your spirit feel and sense going through those realms as you just surrender afresh to him. He is your high priest who gives you access, that you come through the veil that he's opened, that you can come through. Now, Jesus will just take you through the veil of the truth and the way and the life, and he's going to take you around the presence of the ark. So just come around the ark of his presence. Just see the light that's manifesting between the cherubim. Let's just begin to think of the name of God. Yeah. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, that rhythm of breath. As we look into his presence, the presence of the lion and the ox and the eagle and the lamb, just begin to sense his presence there. Now just open up your heart and just ask him for a mandate according to that desire that's in your heart right now. Just be open to receive. It may come as thoughts, it may come as feelings, it may just be your heart is being touched, the desires of your heart are being touched and transformed. You know, the presence of the four faces of God. Just begin to step into and look into to see his will, to see what he's doing according to that mandate. Just sense what you feel there, what you see. Just be open. As I'm looking at the scene, I can see you absorbing light that's coming from his manifest presence. I can see light that's emanating from each of you. Different colors coming from you as you receive, but it begins to flow out from you. So we can't contain everything that he has for us. Just sense that impartation into your spirit, impartation into the desires of your heart. Now just allow Jesus again just to take you by the hand. And he's going to take you through a doorway, and he's going to lead you to the court of war to carry with you your strategy, the mandate to receive revelation, to receive strategy. As you come before the court of war, it's around the table, they have a scroll often. Just allow your heart and the desires of your heart to be revealed to them with the mandate that you've been given. And just receive that strategy for that mandate. Just let Jesus take you again from that place through the doorway, and he's going to take you into the court of angels. And what you received as strategy, what you receive as your mandate, whether you have a scroll with you, whatever you received in that court, just let it be known, let it flow out of you to the angels. There are legions of angels that are awaiting assignment. Just see those that will be drawn to your particular mandate or scroll. And just allow your spirit to begin to engage with them. You may feel you want to direct them, to send them, to prepare the way, to go into the atmosphere of the earth. Just be really open to let your spirit flow. Now just to let Jesus again take you by the hand and lead you, and he's going to take you to your mountain. And on your mountain there is a throne. This is your who you really are, your identity in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And you know, below that there are usually seven other mountains. You may be able to see them or feel them or perceive what they are. But you have a mandate, so I encourage you just to be seated on your throne. As Jesus stands before you, there's an angel behind you that's there to give you direction and protocol to rule. But Jesus would place a crown on your head that's associated with this mandate. He gives you a scepter and a mantle. And he authorizes you. Now just feel the authority that he releases to you. Just breathe it in. Just feel what it is to carry his authority to rule, to establish your mandate, to outwork it. Now just let your spirit direct you. You may need to call something into being. You may need to shift a mountain. If you have a clarity of what that strategy is, then you may need to speak prophetically, release words, call for favor, assign angels. Just be allowing your spirit to lead you as you engage the place of your mountain to bring rule. Look from there and look through to see from where you're seated in the heavenly places, to see from that perspective into this realm. You carry light, you carry frequency, you carry a sound, a fragrance, a formula according to this mandate that you can release. You can release a sound from heaven that calls for alignment. You can release a fragrance from heaven that will draw people. Just allow your spirit to direct you. Now you can just step back through the veil, back into this realm, carrying with you the authority that's been released into heaven to flow through you, to flow around you, to create and sustain the atmosphere of heaven around you as it flows through the gateway of your spirit, soul, and body. And just be sensitive to maintaining that atmosphere of living in that authority and operating out of what is in heaven, to see it manifested around your life, through your life, over your life. Okay, nice. I know we sort of skipped through some of those bits. It's just a doorway for you then to go back through, to spend more time engaging, listening, flowing, and just, you know, practice. I tend to do that sort of thing every day, you know, because then I feel being authorized every day to do what I see the Father doing, and I expect the desires of my heart will be directed towards that which God wants me to be drawn towards that day. So, okay.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
Slightly amazing.
Thank you.
That's okay, you're very welcome.